Welcome to Inside the Castles, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
Well, I'm one of your hosts today, Marie Kopka.
And I'm Aaron Schneider. Today's episode launches our People's First series with our guest host, Marie Kopka. During this series, we celebrate unity, empowerment, and the diverse voices in our workplace to highlight our greatest asset, our people. Welcome, Marie.
Thanks, Aaron. It's good to be here.
Marie, I'm so excited to have you as a co-host for a number of reasons. I've always been inspired by the work that you've done and your passion. And I think also being able to communicate the way you do, I felt like having you on the show is really going to be excellent for our listeners. Also, I'm honored that really you've been wanting to co-host with me because I expect to learn so much in this series, and I've already learned so much from you working with you over the years. So just really excited to have you, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much, Aaron. And we are super excited to learn about the CORE's LGBTQ community group today. And we have with us Lee Trueheart, one of the founding members of this group. Thank you, Lee, for joining us.
My pleasure and my honor. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Lee. I echo that. Thank you for being here and sharing your stories with us. But before we dive into our topic, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born a long time ago. Had to. Couldn't help myself on that one. I grew up all over. I was an Army brat. And I have a very diverse background of where I've been. I knew at an early age I was different, but I didn't understand it. And as time went on, things got clearer. And it wasn't actually until a few years ago that I actually came into my full being and started being my authentic self. And I went to many schools as a kid and actually 5 different colleges, actually graduated from 3 of them. But other than that, I'm old, 63, so people don't believe me, but I am. Going into a little bit maybe of the work side or whatever, I actually was in uniform for 30 years, but part of them started up here at the headquarters in 2003. And then I got brought back on as a civilian after getting out of uniform in 2007. And I came on as in 2008, was with the Directorate of Contingency Ops. And then I was asked to come on over to the PID, the Program Integration Division. And I've been there since 2019. And now I'm looking at retiring in July. So that's a little bit about me.
Excellent. Thanks, Lee. Congratulations in advance for this upcoming retirement. That's pretty exciting. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I don't know if you remember this, but we were first introduced about 2.5 years ago when we were forming the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander Community Group. And at that time, during the pandemic, we didn't know where to start. And you gave us this much needed advice on how to set up this virtual community. And I just want to say, like, thank you so much for helping us with that. It made such a big difference to have another community supporting us and advising us and just helping us to kind of get our beginning footsteps. So I want to kind of switch gears. And so if you could tell us, what is the official name of your community group and, you know, who comprises this group and what is its focus?
First of all, you're definitely very welcome for that. And I really was glad to see other groups coming aboard. The thing is that's the whole thing, is to get visibility. We need more of these special emphasis groups to come on board and get together and let people know that they're not out there alone and flailing in the wind. And I was very happy to see you guys get a group together. And the official name is just the LGBTQ community. And we had gone through a lot of the thoughts of, you know, community of practice, but like, what are we practicing? Just being ourselves, you know, but we decided just to say we're a community. And that's really kind of what it is. Interestingly, it was only a few of us at the headquarters and we got together and Don't know anybody who would remember, but back in 2016, actually it was 2014, that David McBee came up to me and said, "Hey, would you mind helping me get this together?" And a little surprised, it was like not really surprised that he figured out who I was, or that I was at that time considering still myself gay, not trans. Kind of surprised, not surprised. I didn't even know who he was. So I didn't know he knew who I was. So we did, and we actually didn't get it rolling until 2016. And 2016 was actually the first year Army had their full Pride or month and recognizing it. And the Department of Defense had done it for a couple of years, but Army did not. Army is kind of a little bit behind, a little bit. The Marine Corps did it right away. Navy did it right away. Air Force kind of hem and haw for another year, and we did right after that. So it was interesting that our first one at the headquarters was the same one, first one also at for Army. It was neat. It was great. We didn't have the video capabilities that we have now. We just did it for the headquarters people. It wasn't until 2019 that we were able to videotape when General Tammy Smith and a person who came from the Trevor Project, Sam Britton, and they spoke, and we were able to, you know, stream that one out to the other places, other divisions and directorates. And it was interesting because that's when a lot of people from the other divisions and directorates, districts, were able to let us know that they actually had a group or didn't have a group, or and it just started to come together. The community itself was a brainchild of then Commander Janesco, now Captain Janesco, wanting to put this together in an emphasis group like it is now. We had it formed and we wanted to do a charter, and it just didn't work out, and it was like pushing a rope for a while. But 2020 came along and people to not feel alone and isolated, and we decided, okay, look, we have the means by WebEx and we can do this. We can put together something for all of you, SACE. And it really started getting together, and people, we have to have a DLL, we have to have something to be able to do this all with. So it really worked well that it was the push to have this done. There's always good and bad when something comes along, and the pandemic was good and bad for a lot of things, but one of the things it did is brought people together virtually. They wouldn't have done that otherwise, and these means have gotten better and better and better to be able to do that. So that's actually what it, and we have over 100 people, but that's not just LGBTQ people in the group. We have allies. I consider the LGBTQ those also that are parents of, because they are supporting their children, and there's also, like I said, allies. So it's everything. And it's great. We try to get together at least twice a month, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Thanks, Lee. I think it's really good to hear the history of the group and kind of how it was formulated. You know, when you were talking there, and I was thinking about, just, I guess, myself and exposure to the LGBTQ community. And I was kind of wondering, like, how important is it for you to have groups like this? And then, really, what should our listeners also understand about the importance of these groups?
Great question. The importance is because the LGBTQ is an umbrella over everything. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, no matter what you don't believe, no matter skin color, birth defects, non-birth defects, height, weight, doesn't matter who and whatever, LGBTQ is in that group. So with it, it's very important because a lot of people feel like they can't come out, they can't be seen, they can't be heard, they're afraid to. And this gives them a way to get, and even just to listen. A lot of people won't talk. they will just listen, and that's fine. As long as they're there so that they know they're not alone. Oh, some of them actually will not verbalize, but they will put it in the chat. And that's perfectly fine too, because they may not feel safe enough, and which is one of my irks, that to be able to actually talk. And some of them won't put their camera on only because they're shy, or they're just, again, scared too. But the importance of people knowing who we are, it's very important to have visibility. And, you know, I've been around the corner a long, long time. It was very hard for me to hide. I couldn't hide. I knew too many people across the corps. They knew who I was. And so, you know, when I transitioned, it was kind of like, I have to do it in public. I have to do it in the face of 34,000 people because I can't. And I think it's important for me to let others know that it's, you know, their fear is acknowledged and understood, and could be very valid in where they are, depending, because every place is different. The South is different than the North, and the West is different than the East. And, you know, I happen to be very blessed to be at the headquarters where I was opened armed, you know, and they were, I had a lot of people even across the corps who never blinked an eye. So it is important for people to know that we're there, and that what's going on politically out in the climate of the country right now, it makes it even more important, and it makes it hard for people to be visible and be heard. And it's, you know, and if there's anything I can do is be that voice and be that visible person for them.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Some of the things that you were saying, I could just draw kind of just similarities about creating that safe space mm-hmm. for the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander community as well.
Yes.
And you're right, just being invited to this space, no matter how you choose to participate, just having that space is so important. You had mentioned that your community meets a couple times a month. Can you give us a better sense of like what sort of activities that the community participates in? Like how are those meetings? Like what are you normally talking about and discussing at those meetings and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because I just did at the end of last year around October, I did a survey and I had it run through December, and it was about a fourth of the people that actually answered it or whatever, but it gave me an idea of some of the thoughts behind it. And a lot of them were people that they couldn't get to most of the meetings. So, and one of the biggest things about it was they have so many other meetings, they can't get to this one. And I'm looking at trying to now put the meetings at different times, different days, so that I can capture those who cannot be there. And, you know, I even at the time that we had it set every other Thursday, and, you know, I had certain times that I would go way late in the afternoon so I could catch POD people, and they would never come on anyhow. So it's hard, you know. And people are like, oh, this is really late. And I'm like, I was trying to help, you know. But so it really is interesting that it is. It's different for different people because of different meetings. And some people pop on for a little bit and pop off because they have a meeting to go to. But one of the things that came out of the survey was that they wanted to talk more of everyday issues, you know, talk about other things as well. And we have talked anywhere from, you know, just even like this last one where we were talking about the vigils for Next Benedict, or vigils in themselves, or and how it came over to bullying, and just different things and different stories from people, and the fact that it doesn't matter what the background, people get bullied for so many different things. That's one. I mean, those different discussions, I've had a series of things about people listening to others and discussions, and listen, you know, where, you know, the agreement of, you can disagree and you can agree. You don't have to be, you know, completely everybody, oh yeah, that's it. And yet at the same time, there were other times we had no topic and we had a full thing on Sasquatch. And, you know, it was, I know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? It was, yeah, there's, we go to the game and we try to have fun things, or what does everybody else have going on? Is there anything fun, like for Christmas? Who's going where, you know? And we just try to flip it around a little bit just so that it's not always serious. But yet right now there's a lot of things that people want to talk about. And I try to allow that conversation to go. So.
Thanks, Lee. That's really helpful. And to me, what I kind of heard you say, it seems like you're, it's like a formulation of a family. You know, you share these ideas and you have these commonalities. So it seems like your community is becoming that family. And I was kind of wondering, like, it sounds like the community has been around for like the last 8 to 10 years since it's formed. And I was kind of wondering how things have changed over really the last few years. I think there's been lots of social challenges, how things have changed there. But really, maybe if you even want to dive into a little bit of like how the feeling of family has worked throughout the group, if that's an accurate statement.
There is a bit of the family, because there's a lot of times where the same individuals will be able to come on, and I kind of rely on them a little bit. And one of the things is I'm trying, you know, is the headquarters individuals, and there's a certain group of, there's certain individuals I know that I can point to, and I say, what about this? And let them talk a little bit, and it actually brings others in, or they will respond to somebody and I'm asking them to. So it's not just me talking all the time. And I don't, I mean, as much as I love to hear my own voice, I just want other people's opinions. I want them to talk. I want them to understand their voice is just as valid. And maybe they don't want to. Somebody needs to step up and actually talk. But the family environment portion of it, one of the things is nobody outs anybody. They can say who they are if they don't want to. It doesn't matter. The other part is that, you know, whatever it is, even if you disagree, it's, hey, thanks for that, you know, and you're allowing them to come in because you're listening to them and giving them a chance to befriend you. And that makes a big difference in somebody's life a lot of times.
Yeah, thank you for that. You kind of described the whole different dynamics of having a family and what that could also kind of turn into in the workplace too is really interesting. So since it has been kind of a longer journey, 8 to 10 years, you know, what does this community mean to you? Like, has it changed since you first started? And maybe you're thinking about it now as you're retiring. Has it, you know, what does a community group mean to you now?
It has changed tremendously. What we started off was just the headquarters, not knowing who else was out there. And it was really, interestingly enough, that I started my transition in 2018, but mostly 2019 going on. And I put at my signature block, he, him, his. And it's funny with emails, people read down to a certain point. They don't read down and they go, where I need your contact information. Read to the bottom. And it's all right there, you know. So they actually, somebody did and called me from SPD and said, hey, can you tell me about the he, him, why are you doing this? And what about this? Is this okay to do? And it's really interesting that I think people were really interested in it for a while, and some people still do, and I just kept it there because there's so many people who don't know me. But it has changed in that all of a sudden I realized there were groups out there. I realized, oh, there's people that we need to really reach out and touch, and that is when Captain Janesco and came and said, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. It has changed enough that now doesn't matter, the group is heck of a lot bigger because it's all of USACE. We don't talk about just headquarters. We don't talk about just this division or just this district. It's the community. So it has grown from just being a few people at the headquarters to the community, meaning all of USACE. It doesn't matter how the number. It just means those who want to be involved. And it's different as well in the fact of, it was only those who were LGBTQ first that were doing things. And now at the same time, it's the allies involved and they want to help out. In fact, one of the things I asked on the survey is, you want to host? Yes, no, how many times, you know? And one person said, I would love to, but I'm an ally. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. You know, so because you have a point of view and the fact that you're there for us, and that makes a difference. Yeah, there's a lot of difference from when it started, where it is. My hope for this is because of the fact that, again, for the hosting, and I had a comment on the survey about the hosting is, well, if you had somebody help you host, yes, I agree. And I've been asking almost every single time, if you'd like to host. So it really kind of was a little bit of a humor portion of it. But the fact is, I really want, I know that maybe not one person has to step up. It could be a plethora of people. Hey, I'll take it next time, or I'll take it next time. It doesn't matter. I don't want it to stop because people need this. They need a place to talk. They need a place to go to. There's a Teams group as well, but it's very hard for people, I think, sometimes to get more on there because they have to type, and instead of just sitting there where they can talk and they can still work and they can talk. And my hope is somebody will say, all right, look, I'll help out in trying to keep it going, because until somebody either does it themselves or a whole bunch of people step in to do it, my fear is that it will stop. And that will be a detriment to those who need it. And there's a lot of people who do need it. And it will be also a detriment to the core, because you have a group of people now that are feeling isolated everywhere. I keep asking and I keep saying, so hopefully somebody's got to take the cue.
Yeah, that's great. And hopefully somebody does step up, because it sounds like, you know, this is very important. And I think it's always important for everybody to have their opportunity to have their voices heard. So, you know, knowing that your retirement's upcoming, and I think it's in the next few months, what kind of activities do you have planned over the next few months within the community that our listeners should know about?
I've been trying to get people to come on and tell their story, because stories are help you understand the next person. Andrew Solomon stated, it's hard to hate someone whose story you know. And it really makes a difference to even understanding that person. You may not agree with that person, but you at least understand that person and that they're coming from a different point of view because of where they came from, what their background is, what they've done all their life. My wife has lived, when she grew up, she lived in one house. I lived in, I don't know how many states and how many houses and how many schools, you know, 9 different schools altogether. So, you know, you sit there and think about that. And that was so foreign to me, but I'm understanding some of the difference of what her perceptions are because of how she grew up and how I grew up, you know, everywhere, all over the world. So it does make a difference to how you hear somebody. June is June Pride. To me, I want something that will, you know, my last hurrah type of thing. Again, I think going on with the stories and getting people to understand that, I want people to say what they want. We try to do brunch and learns, and that started to take off, and then people didn't come on board with it. We've tried a lot of different things, and I will continue trying until I find, it doesn't matter if it's just one thing that works or a lot of things that work. And I just want people to be able to come and enjoy or hear, and whether they participate verbally or actively, it doesn't matter, just to be part of. And there's a lot of things we can do, but I need support in it, because I can't do it all alone. And I'm not saying I've done everything all alone, but it's kind of been a little bit lonely at the top there. And I'm hoping other people will step up for that. Again, I'm going to shamelessly cue that in there. I do shameless plugs all the time. The activities are just mostly the what people really, really want are what's going on so that they can voice them because they don't have anybody else to voice them to. That's the biggest one right now. But as far as the other is June Pride, that's the bigger one right now that we're going to come on.
So Lee, if someone wants to share their story or join the group, if they're interested in joining this group, what should they do?
Either email me directly, or you can email the DLL-HQ-LGBTQ, and which will prompt hopefully the other people in the headquarters to also kind of, hey, let's get this going, you know. Really hope that people step up to, because I can't emphasize how much this is needed. And this is how much more it's needed. People are needing to go to training. And they're in states that are sometimes scary for them to go to. I know that we had that conversation with the chief of staff about 3 or 4 months ago, and a couple others with EEO and CISM. It was great conversation, but there's nothing really I just needed them to understand this is a potential problem. And these are the things that I need people to be able to verbalize or get with somebody. Hey, I need to talk to somebody. Great. There's a lot of people you can either just talk to, or I can direct you to somebody. And we have a lot of resources. They're on the SharePoint, but it's not something that I can keep up with either. So I've been asking for another shameless plug to get somebody in to do the SharePoint and stuff. So
thanks, Lee. And I hope for our listeners out there that you're hearing this call that assistance is needed and we need somebody to step up. So I'm going to double down on that plug for you there, Lee. But unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time together. And I was wondering, could you just provide our listener with some final thoughts? And what is a key message you would like them to hear?
You know, life is never fair. And there's two thoughts. One, to those who are not LGBTQ and may not understand how that, you know, and a lot of people think it's a choice. It's not a choice. Why would somebody choose to make their life really, really hard and be so different that they're potentially be bullied, potentially put themselves in danger? I mean, it's not a choice. It's something that you have to live authentically to, you know, in accept. For because there's so many things out there saying no, you can't be this way, and it doesn't matter what, you know, letter of the alphabet you come from. That the other part is, if you are LGBTQ or the parent of, even the ally of, there's so much that we need to say to be able to tell people, hey, all we want is to exist in the same respect that you do, and all I'm asking for is respect me as a person. I don't care if you agree with me or not, because I may not agree that you need to have blue eyes, but I can't do a thing about it. Well, you can't do anything about this either, so you have to just allow us to be. And if you are LGBTQ, don't be afraid to ask for help, ask for to reach out and go, I need to talk. I need help. I need to see somebody. And where do I go? Who do I talk to? If you're a parent, it's the same thing. And if you're an ally, I really appreciate you guys being here, because we need the support. And you guys are amazing to be able to do that. My last thoughts, hopefully for the group, is, you know, I love y'all. So don't hesitate to ask if you need something.
Thank you, Lee, and really thank you so much for sharing your story and telling us more about the LGBTQ Employee Resource Group. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you, what topics are important to you, and who you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and tell your story.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.